it like we got hurt embedded within families and community. Like we have to heal within that same framework. And then if we wake up as a culture in a community, imagine our power to influence the world. Imagine our power to create new culture and then build a new world from that more awake, healed culture, you know, so that what we build is an expression of that.
Welcome to the Stay Grounded podcast. I'm your host, Raj Jana, founder of Liberate, and it's my mission to help you become the most grounded, loving, and authentic version of yourself that you can be. Each week, I interview experts in the fields of mindset, spirituality, and emotional well-being. My brilliant guests share their tools, stories, and unique perspectives to help you develop the skills you need to show up fully for the people and things that matter most in your life. Now let's dive in. Hey, everyone. And welcome back to this very special episode of Stay Grounded with Annalisa Adelberg. Annalisa is a teacher, a spiritual guide, and the co-founder of the Luminous Awareness Institute, which is an institute that offers students an awakening and healing path synthesized from Tibetan Buddhism, developmental psychology, neurophysiology, and subtle energy. She spent the last 30 years in supporting individuals on their paths of healing and awakening. And in this specific episode, Annalisa shares her very, very, very profound insights and wisdom on the power of healing in community, on the importance of belonging, and how to integrate the masculine and feminine energies within us. Annalisa is one of the most powerful healers I've personally worked with. And I recently was at an event and I got to experience her in her full magic. And after that experience, I had to on the show. And this conversation was so juicy in so many ways. I mean, we touched on everything from attachment theory and how our early childhood experiences impact the way that we find love and create intimacy. The importance of healing in community and how we can be the medicine for each other, how to navigate between the masculine qualities of direction and structure and leadership with the feminine qualities of unconditional love, emotional attunement, and intuitive wisdom. And when we say masculine and feminine, we're not saying men and women. We're speaking to these principles or qualities or energies that exist in all of us. And I just really appreciated this conversation because Annalisa continues to remind me of the importance of surrendering into the path, whichever it is. It doesn't matter if you're pushing hard or letting go. Both are equally important on this journey of awakening to our true selves. And I just really appreciated this perspective and her insights. I mean, she truly is one of the most accomplished human beings to instruct and teach on these specific topics and subjects. So I'm excited for each of you to get to know her. I'm excited for each of you to walk away feeling inspired, connected, and reminded of your own innate wisdom and capacity for transformation. So I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. And without further ado, here is the amazing Annalisa Adelberg. Enjoy. Annalisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So fun to be here with you already.
Oh my gosh, yes. I adore you and I'm so grateful for you on the impact you've already had on my life in such a short period of us knowing each other. And I very much look forward to deepening our relationship and to go down the rabbit hole today. I'd love to begin with just everybody. You already heard an intro from me about Annalisa, but I want to recount just how incredible of a healing presence you are. You and Ethan both, but like you specifically, like I feel like there was a way that you were able, and I've seen you do this over and over and over again. Like you have this unique ability to see the truth of a human being without them needing to say much. Like you're like, it's like you can just feel into them. And so I'd love to know, was that a skill you were born with? Was that something that sort of you learned over time? Was that something that was cultivated? I'd love to learn how these gifts of yours emerged online, and how did they get to the place that they are today?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I wasn't born with it, or it might have been inborn, but it wasn't catalyzed or opened. When I was 19, I started having spontaneous Kundalini awakenings, and they would be a massive shift, not like a minor shift, but like a complete shift in experience with massive amounts of energy rolling through me and waking me up to other dimensions of self and reality. And when that started happening spontaneously, it wasn't once, it was over and over and over. I would make a shift. So I would be in what I would call the separate consciousness, which feels more anxious, alone, all of that kind of mind stream of the personality. And then when these Kundalini occurrences would happen, I'd be looking out from like a completely different view. And from that view, not only would everything be more beautiful, be more interconnected, be more full of love, be more at peace, I also started connecting to, what some people might call an unconditioned intelligence. One that would sort of stream through my consciousness, and it would start teaching me, you could say, like teaching the smaller me about more of reality, more of truth. And, that happened more than 30 years ago. So I've been in those shifts, having this, you could say, direct teaching from what I feel, some people say, is that a guide? Is that, and maybe. But mostly it felt like unconditioned intelligence itself, like streams through me and directly teaches me more and more about reality and about true self. And also once I made that shift, which again, like it's not like there was a bifurcation moment at that point, but it's been 30 years of integration. It's not like I was complete, nor am I complete yet. But there was a shift towards living from a different consciousness, and also this individuated, I'm over here, you're over there, from that point forward went away. And so I live in a state of interconnectedness, which means that other people, their energy, and as it's cultivated, not only their energy, but their thoughts, their emotions, a lot more specific detail also flows through the experience of myself. And that has been a 30-year process of cultivating like how to understand that experience of this interconnectedness and my particular ability to not only feel kind of interconnected with everything, but what I've cultivated, I think, in 30 years is this more precise ability to tune in very specifically to another being. And in the work that I do, which is the Luminous Awareness Institute work, we talk a lot about three levels of being. We talk about this infinite being, which all the spiritual paths are pointing to, any spiritual path. It could be unity consciousness, it could be all pervasive wisdom energy, it could be non-dual field of awareness energy, it could be God, this infinite self. So that's one dimension of being. But we also tune in with, like, if that's the infinite, there's also a wave in this ocean of beingness. So we are the ocean. And we are also a wave, which is our unique expression of that ocean. Like we are the infinite, also expressing through this wave or as an instrument of that, of God, of truth, of totality. And we're living in this human body in physical form, in this material reality. So, like, the three levels of being are like infinite all, maybe one word could be soul, and then like divine human. And so whenever I'm tuning in with someone, I'm actually tuning in with them on all three levels at once. You know, I'm recognizing in this moment, none other, like we are, it is not you and I, it is we are this one, you know, this infinite source of perfection, intelligence, love, you know, and simultaneous, like you have a beautiful quality that's like no other being on this planet. And when I can recognize that quality, that signature of your soul, it's like I'm bowing to what is divinely unique in you that has a place in service here on this planet. And when I recognize this human level of you, there's that perfect human divine expression. And then there's all the ways that our human consciousness, you know, has been harmed by our early childhood experiences, by our ignorant cultures. And those experiences are still living inside of us and still conditioning us to things that are not an expression of that ultimate intelligence. So I'm kind of recognizing the ultimate being, recognizing like this incredibly unique, perfect soul, and able to see it so that you can find that in yourself. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, this will like, one, I could literally just listen to you talk for so many hours, because it's just you speak with such grace and presence. And I'm just want to really reflect, like, you know, in one of the first interactions I had with you, I felt seen in a way that I don't think I've ever felt seen. And now I'm understanding it's because you were seeing me at all these different levels in ways that most human beings haven't cultivated the connection to. So do we all, I think you mentioned, like, you know, you seeing me like this allows me to capture the signature within myself. So is that really the process? Like, is truly this the end all solution to everything, is just teaching people how to see one another in our fullest expression?
I'd say that's a facet of it. I mean, so we all are this divine perfect nature, both an infinite nature, a divine soul, and a perfect human being, you know, all at once. And what it has to do with is, yes, the degrees of awareness of that, like how woken up, how aware are we of who we are, and how embodied, how much are we able to be an expression of who we are. And so, you know, the waking up process can be individual, and at Luminous, we really focus on how it's also relational.
Yeah.
But it's that, they say self-recognition in many paths, and it is self-recognition, like your own self starts recognizing its true self. But how much is that expedited when that can be mirrored, when we
my
can,
God.
You know, that can be a role of a teacher. But at Luminous, we say you need a teacher, but you also need a community. Like, you need beings that are mirroring you and empowering you and recognizing you, because it's very hard to be on an individual awakening path when we're in a world that's not reflecting back to us. It's like, it's almost like being a fish swimming upstream against so many currents that are like not of that quality, you know, which can be powerful for refining your capability, you know, like almost like a warrior being who they are despite the external circumstances. And I would say a more feminine approach is like, let's wake up together and learn how to become the reflection of each other so that we can expedite our ability to recognize ourselves, and we can have belonging while we grow.
Oh my gosh.
Can actually totally be embedded in a community versus like, I have to leave society so I can recognize myself.
Well, I think that one, just learning to belong, is something that I think we've somehow forgotten, even though it's so innate in our, like a child, the entire child, like it, if she doesn't belong, if she doesn't feel like she belongs to the family, like there's an inherent break in the safety. And so like, I, when I think about it, I'm like, belonging And that feeling of belonging is one of the most important things we could be cultivating and nurturing within ourselves. And I'm finding, you know, as I lean more into my work and as I have the mirrors in my life, human beings, like by belonging to a tribe or belonging to community, I'm actually learning how to belong to myself. I'm learning how to inhabit my body. I'm learning how to love my thoughts and all the parts of me that are like protecting me. It's like through other, I'm learning the self. And it's so much faster. And that's what I actually appreciate so much about the way you teach and in the space you hold, because it is so relational in being able to bridge that separateness. And you mentioned feminine. I'm curious. I would love to bring in what you mean by the feminine in healing and what you mean by the masculine in healing. And, you know, one thing I've known and experienced with you is you bring a very feminine forward like approach. And I know that's very alive for you. So I'd love for you to speak to that around the role that both might play and why you, or in how you look at, I guess, the interconnectedness of the masculine and the feminine.
Yeah. And you just covered so much. I'm like, wow, there's so much there to say. So I want to go back to where you started about belonging and then catch up to the feminine.
Great.
But so first of all, because we said masculine and feminine, let's just acknowledge we're talking about inner principles. We're not saying men and women. We're saying masculine and feminine principles. You know, I have masculine and feminine in me. You have masculine and feminine in you. You know, in the Taoist system, they say yin and yang. You know, these principles that when they're in harmony with each other, it's like the masculine lives within the feminine lives within the masculine. And when they're in harmony, you know, if you look at the Taoist system, the harmony of the masculine and feminine in perfect balance generates like this incredible greater harmony that generates like the perfect world. And I personally feel like a lot of the pain on the planet right now is because that harmony is out of balance.
Mm.
You know, I do believe we had, you know, a very long period where the masculine principles were dominating, and it took things out of balance in a particular fashion. And then, and I do think the feminine got enraged and then is now maybe in cutting off the masculine or in a sense causing chaos, you know, going into her own distortion in response. Not everywhere. There's lots of beauty happening here. There's lots of wonderful intentions. But what I see is as these qualities polarize and go farther into their, instead of their awake, purified qualities, go farther into their hyper-masculine, hyper-feminine, it's creating like a polarization and a chaos and even more pain. And so I think one of the principles that I most stand for is like, how do we deeply acknowledge the wisdom in both these qualities, and how do we bring them back into their original nature, which is in complete harmony and unity with each other? And in doing that, how do we generate like harmony in this world? Like, how do we flourish as a human community with all sentient life? And you know, when you mentioned belonging, I do think that's a little stronger in a feminine principle, like that the cultures, that is a little bit less the American culture, but the cultures that really emphasize the bond in between each other, you know, the family, the community, like that really remember the importance of belonging. Like there's a certain health there. There's a certain harmony. There's a certain power of the way we're able to collaborate and feel deeply connected. And I feel like it deeply nourishes our nervous systems. And, you know, like nowadays, attachment theory, which is like a theory in cutting edge psychology, it's like the biology of attachment. It's explaining that by biological nature, it's a biological imperative that we feel safely bonded.
Yeah.
And it took years to show that in children. You know, they used to say, if the kid's crying, ignore them, man up, little boy. And, you know, that created a lot of injury, not understanding that that child needs to securely bond with their parents and feel that their physical body, emotional body, that their needs that are valid and embedded in their biological nervous system need to be met. And more cutting edge psychology recognizes that adults bond too in almost the same way. And that's more cutting edge, is to realize that we attach to each other and that we have to learn the skill sets of being attached in really healthy ways so that we can bond as families, we can bond as communities, so we can belong. And the more we belong in community in a healthy way, in a way that like nourishes us, the more healthy our nervous systems are, the more healthy our bodies are, the more healthy our emotions are, our thoughts are, and our relationships, you know, which is the basis of so much.
Yeah, you said so much in that. And I'm like really just reflecting on our biological need to belong. Like the more I access that belonging, the more I feel like I belong to this earth. Like I, being in Nosara, like I have more access to nature here than I have anywhere else living. I mean, Boulder's pretty awesome, but like, you know, but Nosara here just has such a vibrancy. And I'm finding the more I connect, like I just feel like I'm a part of this earth and I want to take care of her. I want to be mindful. And then that translates into all my other relationships. And I'm so grateful that you mentioned healthy attachment. Can you describe what healthy attachment or healthy belonging actually looks like? And yeah, just paint that picture, because I really think that there aren't enough models of healthy attachment, which is why even those on a personal growth and development path, I think almost like there's nothing that's like, maybe there isn't like a standard, and maybe there is no standard. At the end of the day, it's how do we come back to ourselves and act in authenticity? But I'm curious if you have any thoughts around healthy attachment and what that looks like, and what does the path to getting to healthy attachment actually entail?
Yeah. And of course this topic, like it's
huge. A big one.
It's like we could pick any topic and go, go, go.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. Well, one thing I'll just point to, there's a woman named Sue Johnson who based her work on Bowlby, who's like one of the originators of attachment theory. And she's got some beautiful writing. Her first book is called Hold Me Tight. And she's not the only base. There's so much now on attachment theory. I've been learning from everyone, but she was the one who initiated me into some of these awarenesses. So healthy attachment is based on the reality that as a child first, we have real needs to feel secure and to be emotionally attuned to, in ways that when we get dysregulated, we can be re-regulated. And in Luminous, I can't go through them all, but we map out 7 stages of development. And the early ones are all about our ability to attach and bond. And the later ones have more to do with how we build our identity within a society. But those needs are non-negotiable because they're biologically wired in. And, you know, there were studies done that showed that orphans that were given food and water and shelter, but not their attachment needs, many of them died.
Wow.
Or got very sick or didn't develop their brain in natural ways. So they're really showing that these basic needs for secure bonding, for emotional responsiveness, to feel safe, to feel held. You know, at Luminous, we talk about mother-father qualities, mother being the unconditionally warm, emotionally attuned, loving, 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 because we all need to be loved and delighted in. And the father, like consistent, protective, reliable, here, guiding, you know, always there, you know, that these qualities that can come through mother, father within us, again, masculine and feminine are principles, but these qualities needed to be there for us to grow up feeling secure in ourselves and able to connect and bond with others. And many of us didn't get enough of what we needed as children. And so then we play those dynamics out in our adult relationships. And
what do you mean by that? When you say, let's say I didn't get my needs met as a child, like what does that mean to play out that dynamic in my adult relationships?
So what typically happens is whenever a really significant need is undermet, something inside of you has to fragment in order to survive. It literally fragments. And in our experience in Luminous, we notice it fragments in its feminine expression and in its masculine expression. And so the fragmentation, it's like instead of being whole and like that Tao of harmony of these two dimensions of you, whole and inside of you, they split. And you'll have like a feminine side that's frozen in time, undermet in its need, still needing it, still waiting. And so sometimes that plays out as these frozen child parts that are living unconsciously from needs that are being demanded at a level that's not actually an adult level. And then the other fragmentation typically is the protective masculine side that will compensate for not needing that. Like, I never want to need that again. I didn't get that need met. Or I'm going to protect from the world. It projects on the whole world that that need is not coming. And then it acts and shows up in ways that are so protective that it's actually keeping the being from getting nourished or having the kind of connections. They might show up overly avoidant, like not willing to bond. They might sort of hide their actual adult needs. There's so many variations of it. We've mapped them all, but I can't really go through them all. But basically what happens is those fragmented parts start getting in dynamic with other people's fragmented parts. And now we're having these part-to-part interactions that exasperate each other's deepest wounds. And so you can get in relationship with a partner or your business partners or just in community. And when we're unaware of these unresolved parts of us, they start interacting in ways that basically confirm the pain and sort of reenact the pain with each other and exasperate the feeling that we're separate, that we can't bond, that our needs can't be met. You know, they kind of confirm the original stories that got created in those moments. And so it's very important to be aware of these parts, not try to get rid of them. You can't, but you have to disidentify with them enough that you can show up in ways that actually help them get what they needed.
I'm so grateful you broke that down, because I think just naming even that, you know, when you're having conflict in relationship, to be able to have the awareness and zoom out and know, is this a part or is this something that's present today? And being able to practice the discernment could save so much heartache and so much heartbreak and so much hurt across the board. Because I really feel like this is like the ultimate skill set for everyone to become better at, which is just becoming more aware of how our parts are playing out and how these different aspects of us are interacting with others and having empathy for the parts of another. And I think this is, I'm so grateful you broke it down that way, because it also just brings, how do you, I guess, distinguish between a part and something that's actually present?
Well, so first of all, that's why Luminous trains in three levels of being, because if you try to resolve the parts from the level of psychology alone, like human emotion and human thought, you're always under-resourced. There's not enough. It's like you have to connect more into source and into who we truly are. It's kind of like you have to up-level yourself and connect into this more infinite consciousness, this more infinite source of love, this more infinite source of truth, and anchor yourself there, and then come in and embrace and work with. It's like a big part of Luminous is identity. Am I this ego part that's just suffering and a victim to the world? Or am I this ego part who just thinks everyone here on the planet's just a jerk and, you know, I'm just navigating and surviving? Or am I something greater that's already ultimately well, that can have everything it needs because there is no lack? You know, can I start to access these greater dimensions of self that are free of some of these issues, but not to go so far into freedom that we spiritually bypass mm-hmm. and leave our human identity, but to go so far into freedom that we can, from that loving freedom, turn around and start to notice self as this greater identity and these parts as dimensions of us that need what they need, because we are human. We don't get to skip our body. We don't get to skip our human emotion. We're not leaving the planet, but we're coming in and repairing what's happened here on this planet from a greater consciousness. So that's like the first step, is to start to disidentify enough that we can access a greater unconditioned intelligence and a greater love.
I love that word, unconditioned intelligence. It's so such a beautiful description of that consciousness. Like I really love it. I just want to like reflect that. I love it. All right, continue. Sorry, I'm listening.
No, totally. And so, you know, in Luminous, we're training in both. We're like continually doing practices to glimpse and taste our true identity. And every glimpse you get, you know, it's not a one glimpse. It's like thousands and thousands of glimpses over time that starts to shift our identity into our true nature, because we're so caught in the limited identity that, you know, like when I first was having those experiences at 19, I go into this incredible state of being, but then I just go back to my limited identity, and the incredible state of being felt like a dream, you know? So over time, the more you experience the true identity, the more the sense of self starts shifting. So it's like I still have parts arise in me, but I don't identify with them anymore. Like I know who I am, and I can feel the distinct experience of resting in that ultimate being. Yeah. And then when the parts arise, I know not to avoid or bypass, because then they'll actually gain power from being left unconscious. So I bring my loving awareness to them. And then because I've done all of this research, I deeply understand what they're needing. And the way we have it designed in the Luminous community is I want everyone in the community to understand what these different developmental stages are and what these parts are needing, because they're healthy enough to not give up on what they need. They're never going to give up on those things that they deserved until they get them. And that's because they biologically needed them. And so instead of shaming them, living from their unconsciousness, I am creating a community of beings that are going to be really aware of what these parts need. And we're going to give each other doses. We're going to be like, oh, you're in one of your parts. Pause. Let me become the loving, living presence and offer you a little bit of what that part actually needs so it can get that experience and keep experiencing it until it digests it and integrates it and grows up the self.
I have a question. So you mentioned the word research. How much of your part, your psychology, your identity is like, how much of your needs are defined by like what developmental psychology says these parts need versus like what your intuition is guiding you to tell you what you need? Like, how do you play with, like, is there an individuated aspect to this where like Raj's core needs of his part are not necessarily found in a textbook? They might follow some framework, but like mm-hmm. how do you tune into what Raj needs versus what like just all parts are saying those parts need? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You're actually asking a question from the masculine feminine side. So the masculine side, in the way I'm defining masculine, is the structure. And the structure gives you some clarity so that you can navigate with a map instead of just like whoa, I'm just navigating moment by moment. I don't know where I am. So by having a map of like the developmental needs and, you know, these maps really help us locate ourselves and navigate. And the map is not the territory. So if it's overly mapped and I'm just labeling you inside my map and I'm not in the present moment in this feminine interconnected experience of experiencing you as you truly are, and I'm just putting my conceptual map on you, that would be really painful. So the map is there kind of as like guideposts, as like so that we have a sense of what we're up to. But the practice is done in living presence. And the practice is not only this ability to be aware, but it's that felt feminine sense of what's arising now and what am I actually experiencing. And that's like the healing can't happen from the mind, and the healing can't happen from a map. It has to happen in this truly in the moment interconnectedness, where we really become present with what's here, and we don't go so much into the head and over define it. You know, we have to actually be dropped in enough to be in connection and attunement and listening, even if that's dropped in enough to be in connection and attunement and listening, you know, to myself. You know, so there's your ability to come into the present moment and honor the like what's arising, that there's intelligence inside of that too. And then there's my ability to be with you and really, in this felt sense, be with whatever's arising, you know, and that itself is a healing act. You know, like the maps that I've created at Luminous have given me structures so that I don't miss something, or, you know, the maps help me, like, they've expedited my ability to look at someone and get a sense right away. These are the three developmental phases they missed. These are their most powerful soul gifts. This is the best way to point to awakening for them. It gives me like a quicker, more efficient way to help someone on their spiritual path and their emotional development path and their ability to be an expression of their soul in the world. But the maps are kind of held softly so that this living, loving, unconditioned intelligence that we are can reveal itself by itself to itself. And the intelligence isn't just in me, it's who we are. So if we quiet enough and get connected enough, there's something that's always guiding, you know, that we can listen to.
What does presence feel like?
What does presence feel like? So, you know, often you have to get quiet from the thinking mind, because the thinking mind can be a distraction. And for some people, a way to unhook from the thinking mind is like locate it. Like, where is the thinker? And then notice we are more than the thinker. Like, what is noticing the thinker is also here. And then at that moment, as you notice what's aware of the thinker, it might feel deeper, it might feel higher, it might feel vaster, but it's not caught inside the thoughts or the head. And then an element of presence is it's like the silence behind the sound, or it's like the stillness behind the clutter of thought. But when I point to presence, I'm not just pointing to awareness and emptiness. I'm pointing to something that has a texture, you know, because it's not just awareness and emptiness. It's there's something palpable, you know. It's the space, and it's also this felt, palpable. And when we touch it, which we just did, you feel the interconnectedness. It's sort of like activated, like the natural love.
It's pure. It's pure. It's spacious. It's very grounded, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And it has a clarity, and it has a quality of love, and it's everywhere, but it's also like right here. You know, it's everywhere and between us and inside of us.
Is the journey of self-trust really learning to trust this presence, this intelligence? Is that really the ultimate journey?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we're slowly disidentifying with the conditioned mind and all of the programs and pain that cause all the afflictive emotions and thoughts. So we're learning to disidentify so that we can recognize this ultimate being. And this ultimate being is a soul and has a human form. And even a very awake being needs to honor the beautiful attachment biology, the beautiful physical body, the beautiful planet, the beautiful communities. You know, we're not transcending life. We're knowing life from our transcendent awareness, but in life, like all the beauty, all the aliveness, like this incredible privilege to be on this vibrant planet with so much richness and beauty, and you know, but and to be in sacred relationships so that we care for the planet and we care for each other and we care for all life, right?
One of the things I admired so much about the containers that I've experienced with you are how you create these structures of relational healing, and you do it so intuitively, and but like I've seen the magic of them, like it's can you speak to just how and why the relationship, like the way you lean on community, like can you speak to the mandalas or anything around that structure? Because I'm like, I've yet to experience it anywhere else in the world, to be honest. Like I was blown away by how you created the containers, and then you brought in different individuals with different constitutions to hold different space. It was so structured, yet not.
It's the masculine feminine together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, oh God, there's so much to say there. So for one, like in Luminous itself, we call, one of the ways we call the mandala is that every single being in the room is creating the awakening and healing vehicle. But we're not flattening things. We're not saying that we're all exactly the same. Our true nature is exactly the same, one nature. And in the room are people who've been on the path for 30 years and people who've been on the path for 1 year. And so everyone has a place in the mandala of being that's ultimately there's someone who's sort of holding some sacred space for the being, who's holding some sacred space for the being. And there's a way that we allow for the sacred mandala of people who have lots of depth to take a certain seat, and then the people who are holding from there to take another seat. But we're recognizing that every being in the room, as they are in their consciousness, because we all have one divine nature, as we interconnect with this intentionality, we create the sacred mandala that can more quickly, more efficiently wake us up, not as an individual, but actually as a community, individuals waking up within community. And like creating something that more efficiently does that.
And I just want to like speak to a very, I'll share my story as a very concrete example for anyone listening who's like, just to get tangibly, like, you know, being in a room together, you know, going through a process of me primal screaming in a room, deeply releasing anger and rage, whether it was mine or my father's or my lineages, it didn't matter. But having a container for me to do that, and then you instructing each individual in the room to hold that loving space, to look me in the eyes when I looked at them, to remind them of their divinity. And at the end of the experience, for me to have so many individuals come to me and share what they were experiencing through their bodies as a result of being in that is like the perfect example of what you're speaking to. It's like we all in that container held, we played such a sacred role, and we all healed together. We like rose together, and like my screaming liberated somebody else's safe container somebody else's presence helped me go deeper. And that's what was so beautiful in it. And I see it so clearly now, that dynamic in that container of each person recognizing how important they are to the process is so critically key to the lifelong integration of that.
Exactly. And you know, from the more awakened view, we are interconnected. You know, like it's an illusion that we're separate. So if we just acknowledge the interconnectedness that's already in the room, and that doesn't mean that we're merged in unhealthy ways, but there is a natural interdependence, a natural interconnectedness that is grounded in something that's vaster and more empty. So we're not just in the experience, we're also in something that's greater than the experience, which keeps things coherent and clean versus merged and murky. So it's those three levels of being. It's like holding that which is always pure and completely empty of it all, holding this interconnect, like recognizing this interconnectedness as if the entire room of all the individual bodies make up a body, letting a particular being be the focus of that body so that they are processing not only what happened to them, as you said, as a child, or maybe that happened to your father or that happened to your people, that's actually interconnected with everyone in the room, what happened to them as a child, what happened to their parents, what happened to their people. Then we can process our individual traumas, our collective traumas. You know, there's a way we can move through with so much effortless grace and love and power, using the power of everyone's awareness, everyone's capacity, and also that we're medicine for each other. Like, you know, you were in a different healing session with another woman who was working on incredible pain that she had about her relationship to men and the masculine in the world.
Yeah.
And part of her is not just expressing or digesting the energy of that pain, which is part of the process, but bringing in the medicine. And you were one of the people I brought in so that she could have an experience of what she was meant to have, of like of a being saying, I am here. I am this presence that won't leave you, and I can see you. I'm not seeing you, like so many women or feminine beings in the world feel. They feel so unseen, but you came and could see, and you offered that seeing, which let her process the pain, but not just process the pain, come into what was missing, which is being seen, being recognized, being invited in, bringing her innate beauty and song. And I couldn't have done that if it was me alone with her in a healing space. I need the mandala of beings where I can bring in each one who has a medicine into what we're working through so that we can bring in the way it was meant to be. It's like there's the conditioned, parts-based, ignorant-based way we've acted out on each other and caused so much pain in this world, but we can reenact it, like through our capacity of truth, of love, of presence, of all these qualities that are innate to us from divinity, from soul. And as we play those parts with each other, we're healing each other and we're actually healing the world. We're like creating a new culture, like a culture that is an expression of that divine intelligence rather than an expression of ignorance. And that's something we can do together. And I couldn't, like, I don't like to work with individuals by themselves anymore. It's a waste of my energy. It's too slow. Like, that's why I created this particular format with community, because I want something efficient. I want something that really heals it like we got hurt embedded within families and community. Like we have to heal within that same framework. And then if we wake up as a culture in a community, imagine our power to influence the world. Imagine our power to create new culture and then build a new world from that more awake, healed culture, you know, so that what we build is an expression of that.
I mean, you said so much in there, and I'm already like envisioning, like, as people begin to recognize that this relational dynamic is the faster path to healing. I mean, I'm already imagining like actual moms and children doing this together, like being able to heal together and recognizing that like there's no therapeutic process that can replace just the familial love. And if we can even penetrate love at the family layer and bring this work into families, like, my gosh, like there's such a ripple impact of this. And at least like, I'm such a fan of you. Like, I literally like could sit here and talk to you for hours and listen to you with such grace, explain topics that are, I think I hear a lot of people in the space, just like, I feel like you have this innate ability to explain this work in a way that's inspiring and encouraging and accessible. And I learned so much from you today, and I'm infinitely grateful for the impact you've already made on my life. And I'm excited to go through Luminous and to experience even more. Thank you just for being.
I just feel so much gratitude for the invitation, you know, and the way that you interviewed, it feels like with so much regard and kindness. And I can tell that you and I are allies with a mission in this world. Like we just want a world that's more loving and more sane and more safe and more flourishing, and that we're both working for that in every way we know how. Yeah. So I'm very excited that you're coming into the Institute, because I want to support you in the work you do.
Can you speak to the Institute for anybody listening who might now be like, what the heck is this, Raj, you're doing? And I'm curious, could you give a little blurb or a little explanation?
Yeah. So for 20 years, I've been reiterating on one question, which is like, how do I create a space where humans can develop into their highest level of consciousness and purify all of their afflictive beliefs, emotions, you know, whatever it is that keeps them from being an expression of that elevated consciousness. Because I see the suffering in the world, and ultimately I feel like the suffering is because of the pain and the ignorance in the humans. So I've been wondering, what's the most accelerated way to help the humans shift, you know, to help all of us shift, so that we can become these living expressions of our awakened self, our souls that have a purpose here, and happy, healthy, human bonded to the earth, to each other, families and communities. And so I've had 20 years to iterate on that. Literally, I've been teaching the Luminous Awareness Institute for 20 years, and every 2-year program, I refine it again and I refine it again. And I've required it to be 2 years because I don't believe that an intro workshop or like that it's incremental change over time to really shift your level of consciousness and to really purify all of these parts of ourselves. You need incremental shifts over time. And so it's an 18 month now program, which sounds a little overwhelming for some people, but all it really means is that you go on retreat every 3 months and that you do this deep dive into particular healing, into particular glimpses of our awakened nature. And then you get 3 months to integrate that before we do it again. And we're climbing up a developmental ladder. We're climbing up an awakening ladder. And the idea is, by doing these once every 3 months, deep dives with this integration in between, it's the real time it takes to up-level someone, you know, to really start to have them live more from their awakened identity and live less from these, survival based parts. And so the program only opens, because it's a 2-year program, it only becomes available only every 2 years. And so the program's starting this June, and I know that you're going to be there, which I'm excited for. And so we have about 20 spots left, and I'm leading a big thing this weekend. So if someone's interested, they should, go to luminousawareness.com and find out, because we're looking, we really look for a particular cohort, like of beings that are on that cusp, like ready to kind of come into their next level, you know, that kind of thing.
Totally. And everybody listening, we'll make all of Annalisa's links available in the show notes so that you can go learn more about Luminous. And again, thank you so much, Annalisa. I have one last question for you.
Okay.
In the midst of everything you're doing, everywhere you've been and everywhere you're going, how do you stay grounded? And more importantly, what's one thing you do every single day to just become a more grounded human being?
Well, the word grounded is like my farthest reach, because I've been empty in space and I've been full of dynamic energy my whole life. And then grounded also is like planted in the body here on Earth. So that's my farthest, that's where I'm coming into after like 30 years. But so it depends what grounded into what would be my question. Every day I relax my personality into this unconditioned intelligence and let that be the source of my knowing, of my sense of what is true and not true. So that's how I stay, by always being connected to and knowing myself as source, it's constantly resourcing me and grounding me in truth, grounding me in love, grounding me in the infinite. So I do that absolutely every day. And now I'm recognizing that infinite source very much as an expression of this body, of this planet, you know, like that's the grounding. It's like, it's not a leaving of this reality. It's like awake in reality, awake in life, awake in this body, awake in everything, not separate.
I love it. 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 I love you. And I'm so grateful that we got some time to drop in this way. But everybody, that's a wrap for this week's episode of Stay Grounded. I'm your host, Raj. This is your new friend, Annalisa. And from us, stay grounded. We'll chat soon. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Stay Grounded. No matter where you're from or what you're going through, I hope it helps you remember just how incredible you are and have always been. If you're on a path of emotional healing or self-discovery and would like to learn how Liberate can support your journey, head to www.rajana.com/liberate, that is LIBER8, to learn more about our current group programs and one-on-one offerings. I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.